Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. I love the simplicity, the clear and plain and beautiful illustrations of the scriptures. Our Savior teaches us in such a way that the unfathomable, unsearchable riches of our Savior are just so beautifully plain. And as with most of these proverbs, there's truth here regarding everyday earthly things. A simple compliment, pleasant words. You compliment somebody on how they look, or a word of praise for something that they've done, or just somebody saying, I love you, can do wonders. It can entirely change your attitude. And attitude is a lot. Attitude is big. It can brighten your mood. It can take away bad thoughts, bad feelings. And I believe without a doubt that there are actual health benefits to surrounding yourself with people who do this. And this is important, though. When I say surround yourself with people that speak pleasant words to you, I'm not talking about people who just say what they think you want to hear. And it'll be obvious eventually. There are a lot of people like that, for whatever motive. They just like to say what people want to hear, and their compliments are empty. Religion is notorious for insincere pleasantries. I was in it for years, so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about surrounding yourself with people who say what they say to you because they sincerely love you. That's who will speak pleasant words to you. Sincere, pleasant words. Somebody that loves you. And somebody that loves you is just naturally going to do that. They're just automatically going to say pleasant things to you. The older I get, the less use I have for people who do not love me. I don't want them around me. I don't blame them for not loving me. But neither do I want to have anything to do with them. I just don't. There's not enough time for that. So this is good advice. Pleasant words. Say them. And do your best to exclusively hear them. But this is not the real message of our text. Not the real message, not the true spiritual message of the text. Our text is talking about the pleasant words. Listen to Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. If you would turn there with me, I want you to see this. Psalm 19. There's something about seeing the words and letting it sink in. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The only perfect thing in this world, besides Himself, His Spirit, is His gospel. I can't preach it perfectly, but I preach a perfect gospel. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's reliable. Making wise the simple. I remember saying in a message recently, even a dull person can be wise. That's what that is. The simple are wise by believing the gospel, by God's grace. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It's not talking about the moral law. The moral law doesn't really rejoice the heart when you realize how you measure up to it. But the gospel does. The gospel does. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That's our beautiful text. And notice in our text it says sweet to the soul. Sweet to the soul. So we have a simple, beautiful illustration here. Everybody in here has probably tasted honey at one time or another. Or something sweet. It represents just something so sweet. Sweet and healthy. We've tasted sweet things before, and it's so satisfying that you have to taste it in moderation. You can overdo it with sweet things. But this is what the gospel is to the soul. It's satisfying. Another thing that's happened to me as I got older now, that whenever I eat a meal, I almost have to have something sweet after I eat. Is that anybody else that's getting a little bit of gray hair? I mean, I've always enjoyed dessert, but now it's like it's such a deep craving. And it can be just a few bites of something. But boy, it's almost a necessity. It satisfies. And the gospel is everything that is sweet to the soul. Because the gospel is Christ. He's the bread of life, the water of life, the meat and drink indeed for sinners. What is sweet according to the scriptures, and what does Christ have to do with it? Well, turn with me to a few scriptures that refer to that which is sweet. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 12. Ecclesiastes 5:12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. What an interesting verse of scripture. But the sleep of a laboring man. If you've worked hard all day, you've worked a lot of hours, you put in a lot of effort, you've worked maybe out in the heat and you're just exhausted, you've put everything you've got into what you've done that day. And it is a sweet feeling to lay down and it's a sweet feeling. Well, what does that have to do with Christ? Well, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. And here's right from our text, unto your soul. That's sweet. A man that has labored. And the thing about laboring and being heavy laden under the burden of the law, there's nothing virtuous about that. And there's nothing profitable about it. That's how it's different from the just the physical labor of a job in this world. And so how sweet it is to lay that burden down at the feet of Christ and trust Him in what He did and find rest under your soul. Listen to Matthew 11:28. You're familiar with this. Well, we just read Matthew 28. What I meant to say is Proverbs 13:19. Let's go back to that because it's near our text anyway. Proverbs 13:19, if you'd look at that with me. What is sweet according to Scripture? Proverbs 13:19. Look at this remarkable verse of Scripture. So much said in so few words. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. The desire accomplished. Three words. Think about what that means, though. The desire accomplished. Something that you plan to accomplish, that you want to accomplish. It's a desire of your heart to see it done. Whatever it takes. It may take a lot of time. It may take money. It may take a lot of effort. Whatever it takes, you want that to be done, whatever it is. And when it's done, that's sweet, the Scripture says. That's what the gospel is. Those three words are the gospel. The desire accomplished. What does a sinner desire? What is the desire of a sinner? Let me illustrate it by asking you this question. What is the desire of a leper? You remember old Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman the leper? He was a mighty man. He was he was strong and mighty and looked up to and a great. It says he was a great man. And I suspect, well, there's just no doubt about it. He had a lot of responsibilities. He had a lot of things on his plate. He had a lot of business to take care of until the day he became a leper. And then everything, there was nothing on his plate that day. And from there on, as long as he was a leper, he had one desire, the desire of a sinner. The desire of a leper is to be clean, to be healed. When you're that sick, nothing else matters. So the desire of a sinner is to be made clean. It's accomplished for us by Christ. The desire accomplished is sweet. Isn't it sweet? Oh my, there's nothing as sweet as salvation perfected. Salvation that's finished. Salvation that's not waiting on me to decide something. Salvation that doesn't depend on anything I've ever done or not done. The free, eternal covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. Unconditional as far as the sinner is concerned. That desire, the desire, has been accomplished for sinners, and it's sweet to the soul. It's really the only thing that is. Christ accomplished the salvation of His people, and to them, nothing is sweeter than to hear about it, to hear about Him, to hear about Him doing that for us. Hearing the gospel is like hearing somebody say, I love you. I love to hear those that I love say that they love me. And here's kind of the thing. I mean, I kind of knew that already, but it sure was good to hear it again. That's the gospel. These things. That's what Simon Peter said. I'm just reminding you of what you already know. But isn't it good to hear it? You see, only it's God saying, I love you in the gospel. If you believe on Him, God's love's in Christ now. But in Christ, isn't it good to hear it? How pleasant to be reminded of God's love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, sovereign love. There is no other kind. Love that actually does what is necessary for those loved. Eternal love. Love at all times. Scripture says a friend loveth at all times. How pleasant it is to hear in the gospel of our Savior that no man can pluck us out of His hand. That we're secure, we're safe in Him. That's so sweet. Because we are His sheep and He has laid down His life for us, we shall never perish. That's pleasant. That's rest to the soul. That's sweet to the soul. How pleasant it is to know that all things, everything, what we call the good stuff and what we call the bad stuff, work together for our good, to the good of those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Boy, that's pleasant. I don't ever get tired of hearing that, because I believe the Lord shows us a little more every time we consider that, a little more. Of the truth of it. How that everything. And you know, when you experience as a believer so many things throughout life and that you thought was terrible at the time, it's just, this is just disaster. How can things be so messed up? You know, which way is up? I don't even know. And, but then now you can look back on that and say, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. And now things are better because of that. Even though I thought it was a horrible disaster at the time. The more that happens, the more maybe we're able to say that and know that in the moment. And not just have to look back on it later. Maybe I'm going through something catastrophic right now, something heartbreaking right now. Can I see right now that it's the Lord? Can I see that He brought the storm and He calms it when He's pleased? He may let us panic for a while. The disciples did. We perish. But maybe the more experience, the older we get, maybe we'll grow in grace enough to know, even in the moment, even in the storm, that He's the one that brought it, and He did it for our good. We know these pleasant things because of the pleasant words of the gospel of Christ. And remember this part of our text, it's good for you. It's good for you to hear it, isn't it? It's not only enjoyable, like eating something sweet, it's good for you. I don't think it's healthy to always be eating stuff you don't like. Do you? There may be some physiological excuse for it. And believe me, I eat way too much stuff that's not good for me. That's not good either. I'm not saying that. I honestly don't think it's healthy to eat stuff you don't enjoy every time and just scratch that thing off my list of things I enjoy. Eating is not on that list anymore because I want to live to be 200 and die of nothing. And that's not good. Every once in a while, you got to taste something sweet. I believe that's good for you. But the gospel is not only what we love to hear, it's good for the soul. It's the best thing you can do for yourself. And of course, it's the Lord doing it. He gives us the desire. It's Him that worketh in us to do and to will and to do of His good pleasure. But this is health to the spiritual bones of a sinner. A healthy body is one that's energetic. If I don't have any energy at all, something's wrong. A healthy soul is one that's zealous for the glory of God. A healthy body is one without pain. And the good news of the blessed Redeemer takes away the sting of death. A healthy body is one with a good appetite. And blessed is the healthy soul that hungers and thirsts after Christ's righteousness. And like I want to surround myself in this life with people who care about me and say naturally, they sincerely say things that are pleasant to my ears. I very much also want to surround myself with the people of God who care for my soul. And their speech is seasoned with God's grace. I want to be that person. And I want to be with that person. May God make it.